You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Kevin Miller and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Welcome once again to another exciting episode of Inspire Excellence, the podcast that really asks the question, what makes people tick and what can we learn from them? My name is Kevin Miller, along with your host, Tommy Ahlquist. And Tommy, great once again to talk to you. And we've got quite a pair with us today.
We have quite a pair. I'm super excited about today. When we sat down and brainstormed, who do we want to talk to and what do we want this podcast to be about? One, we want to inspire people. But some of the most inspiring stories for me are entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs that see opportunity and go out and do things. And for our guests today, that is who they are and that's what they do. I can't wait to learn more about them, Kevin.
Well, and certainly when we're looking at our guest, the social media world, followers, likes, for a lot of us that are listening, maybe we grew up in the analog world. So we're going to find out some secrets today, Tommy.
That's great.
You know, Diana, why don't you introduce yourself and... I know a little bit about you, but sure. For people that are wondering who's our first guest, please introduce yourself.
Sure. Well, first, I want to thank you two for inviting me. My name is Diana DeJesus. I have an Instagram page called Boise Bucket List, and I started it when I first moved here for the job. I also work at University of Idaho College of Law as the Associate Director of Admissions. So that's my full-time job. And then I just do Instagram, and I have a community building niche here in the Valley.
Boy, very quick and succinct. Natalie, what about you?
All right. Well, thank you for having us. This is actually really fun for Diane and I to get to talk and yes. be together because we get to see each other a lot on Instagram, but not so much in person. I'm Natalie Plummer, and I am most known for, I think, Hello Meridian, which is an Instagram page that focuses on the Meridian and Eagle area specifically, and what's great about that area, what's going on, new businesses. And I also feature other locations as well. And then by trade, my main job is that I'm a social media manager and strategist. So basically companies hire me to make sure that their social media is on track, or they hire me to just completely take over their social media and run it.
I would be interested to know, just to start for both of you, as you look at the world of social media and the potential, I think for traditional businesses and new businesses, mm-hmm. the question is always, how do I do it? How do I engage? Right. So for you, you now have followers. I follow you both. It's just
fun. Thank you.
It's fun to follow, right? But how did you see this as an opportunity? What attracted you to it? What's been, you know, what was that draw? How did you get into it? And then for those people out there thinking about this, tell us a little bit about the platform.
Sure. So for Instagram, being from the East Coast, it has been a tool that's utilized. Like, my parents live in Atlanta, so it is a tool that many individuals understand. So when I moved to Boise, for me to move here, I didn't see too many pages that showcased the lifestyle here. So there were a couple, but I wanted to provide a first person opportunity to explore Boise. So with Instagram, it's visually driven. So I'm a visual learner. I enjoy photos, and I saw the opportunity to provide that resource. I didn't expect it to grow as much, but I did expect for people to be engaged through authentic voice and a genuine opportunity to connect with people. So that's what Instagram has allowed me to do. So there was opportunity 2 years ago to do that, to seize that opportunity.
Great. So while I was working in social media and representing these local companies, I kept thinking, I wish there was an Instagram page that basically did what Hello Meridian does, because for me, and I think for Diane as well, Instagram is king, especially in the Treasure Valley. Facebook is great, but Instagram has more engagement. The content just draws people in. So I kept thinking, we need this page. And I just thought, well, I can do that.
Exactly.
So I just decided, it's been about 3 years.
Well, and you take a look at the popularity of Instagram, Tommy, and it was so popular that Facebook bought it.
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, let me ask you, I mean, here's what we want to know. Everybody wants to know, what's the secret sauce?
Okay. For me, I guess for the secret sauce is for a small business or anybody who's looking to explore Instagram, did they have to first know their own narrative? I think that they get eager to post all these photos and not have a strategy. The secret sauce is just knowing your own individual brand, learning that it takes time. The first 3 months, I would say, you need to put emphasis on what kind of content are you going to post? Who is your target audience? Who is your avatar? You have to have strategy before you just implement on Instagram. It is a tool. It's a free tool. It's a fantastic tool. But nonetheless, you still need to have strategy before you do it. So the secret sauce starts with the actual entrepreneur. Who are you? Well, how do you want to showcase your brand? Then you implement a nice strategy on Instagram. So that's the secret, is first knowing your brand so you'll be able to showcase it. But Natalie might highlight more on how you could actually effectuate that plan.
Well, I agree with all of that. I think sometimes people think that because it's free, that maybe it's not as valuable to put in effort. But you have one chance often to make a statement to people on Facebook or on Instagram. And you really have to know that within the first 10 seconds of someone looking at your page, they know what you're all about. They know what you stand for. They know what you offer. And they can see that you have enough insight into your own brand to put that out in some kind of a creative way, to have your own voice. And those are not easy things, but they can be developed by any company. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you just really need to clarify that in your own mind, which is one of the things that we do for people. But yeah, I would say thinking very hard about the things you're putting out to the world and realizing that this is the window into your business.
I'm just sitting here smiling because everything you said is so just spot on. And I didn't know what to expect today with you. We were excited to have you and ask all these questions, but your business acumen is so high because you think about what you just said. And people are always coming to me and saying, hey, what makes you successful? I said, it better be authentic. It better be genuine. Mm-hmm. You better have whatever that drives your business. You better know what your values and your mission and your purpose is. And a lot of times people think those exercises you go through to develop that, that's just something we do when we do a business plan. No. That's when you take what's inside you and you put it out there, both internally for the people that work for you and for the rest of the world to see. Mm-hmm. Right. But the next step is then, how do you brand that? How do you take what you do have to offer and how do you create a brand that is consistent, that people can look at and immediately recognize and say, hey, I'm going to work with them, or I'm going to use that store, or I'm going to buy those shoes because of a brand.
Exactly.
And it's interesting to me as I go through life, how many businesses just don't take that step.
Correct.
We're a new company with BVA, but I'll tell you, brand awareness and what we do behind the scenes is super important to us because hopefully it reflects who we are.
Right.
So I love what I just heard.
What if you just want to be popular? Like you post a picture of your puppy. I mean, you're on Tommy's frequency and I'm going brand this, brand that. I just want to.
So there are different ways people use Instagram. Like there's this construct called this influencers, an individual who utilizes their platform to influence behavior.
Now that would be you too.
Right. More so in terms of, it's like a more of a lifestyle. We showcase brands. We use our platform to connect. We're micro influencers. We're very specific to the location. There's individuals who want to be lifestyle influencers, travel influencers. If they post their pet, maybe they have a page dedicated to their pet. So it's amazing on how on Instagram, it can be very specific and a target audience that could ultimately evolve into being an influence within that realm. But if I posted a picture of my dog, that's not going to make sense for my brand mm-hmm. because it doesn't go to the holistic sense of Boise Bucket List. But people want to use it to be popular, but mm-hmm. in what way? And how would it be lucrative for them? What would be their purpose? Again, it goes back to branding.
Yeah. And I find it interesting when people just want to be popular on Instagram. I don't really see the point of that. I think that if you can find ways to benefit others, if you can find ways to inspire, if you have something you want to say to people, I understand that. I was a lifestyle blogger for 8 years. So I understand the need for connection. Often it's to help grow your tribe, and to become connected to people. But if you're just trying to get likes, that's not something I really understand personally. Right. I mean, that can be fun, but I don't know if that will be fulfilling in the end. Correct. Because, that's not real, that popularity. It's interesting, but what are you giving to the world? What are you offering? If you can take that popularity and do something with it, then that's a different story.
Right.
Wow.
Tommy. So Kevin,
I might have to go get a drink after this one. Diet soda, but still.
So Can I maybe twist this just a little bit and ask you, I mean, again, first time we've spent time together, pretty fascinated. You know, you're very successful and super in the world of business with what you just talked about. That's impressive to me. Tell me a little bit more about each of you. Like what drives you? Obviously very driven. You created this business using a platform, using a tool, but you've now connected that to create a brand and something for you here. Just tell me a little bit, get a little more personal with it.
Sure.
So what drives you? What gives you that drive to be successful? And for our listeners out there, I hopefully people that are listening to this are say, hey, that inspired me.
So I first tapped into what my passion is, and I thoroughly enjoy human contact and interaction and community building. I've done this all throughout college and law school, is that I enjoy seeking, if there's a missing a community, I like to seek it and fill it. I feel human interaction is key. Yes, I love social media, but I love to connect with people. That's why I have a position that I do at the law school. Personally, what drives me is knowing that I am a resource for others and I like to give back. So that's always been a passion of mine. That might be a shortcoming sometimes because I do enjoy it so much at my own expense. But because with social media, I can connect with people. They found my page helpful when they moved to meet other people. That human connection is what's my passion. And therefore, it's a core purpose of mine. So that's what drives me every day.
That's great. And Diana is awesome at that. we'll hopefully talk more about that. But she has created these tribes within Boise that I'm part of and that I rely on. And that has been so beneficial, especially, I think, for women entrepreneurs. But she's great at that. So for me, I started in social media because, well, I moved here from Chattanooga, Tennessee, 8 years ago. And I was there with my small children, two at the time, and I was kind of lonely. I had no family. My husband traveled a lot. And so I started a lifestyle blog. And suddenly I had these connections. And they were real connections. And I'd have someone to, you know, to talk with. And then I moved here and I just fell in love with Idaho really unexpectedly. I didn't know anything about Boise before we moved here. But what I felt here was that I wanted to establish a connection and a tribe because I didn't feel it. And I knew there were so many people just like me, alone in their homes, doing their thing, because we live in a place where we're all very isolated in our homes and we have all these people who have so many similarities, but how do we connect with them when we are so busy? I have three children. I am constantly worrying about laundry and homework, and I work from home. I decided to start a career that I could do at home without having to outsource childcare, which is difficult. But I thought, I can do this. I can create my own career. And the thought of creating a career that also helps enable this kind of tribe just excited me. And so I went for it.
I can't wait to hear a little more. Talk to me about these tribes, because we're gonna talk a little bit about the negatives of social media.
Yes.
But I want to hear, let's hit the positives first.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about these tribes you've created and how that can be effective in people's lives?
So I have three. So for me, I have two different Facebook groups, one for women who want to just go out and have a good time. I call it Girls Night Out. It has about almost 600 women. And then I have one for New to Boise, a group where people who just relocated, and I just like to cultivate outings for them. You know, I bring from Instagram to Facebook and then Facebook to in person. And then the most successful one is one called Collaboration Over Competition. It's a mixer that I host every month for current and aspiring female entrepreneurs. I noticed that what Natalie said, where I was meeting women through Boise Bucket List that I would partner with to do giveaways or just showcase their business. And I would ask them, what are some things that are challenging? And they would share with me that they felt isolated. So I was like, maybe I can create an event where they can just come together, make it a safe environment for them. And it has evolved from 25 women, my first event, to now they sell out in 10 minutes, the tickets sell out. And then I'm going to keep evolving that brand, but it allows women to meet and interact and get out of their homes and dedicate time to themselves in a way that will uplift them and inspire them. So those three communities is what I established since starting my Instagram page.
Look, I have to ask both of you this. You're both from east of the Great River. Now,
the Great River.
Now, and you're both from the South, is that correct?
I'm from Florida, yes.
I'm actually from Spokane, Washington, okay, but I lived in the South for about 8 years
before. That explains that you're not having the accent, yes. But no accent.
No Floridian accent, no.
What brought you to Boise?
Sure. So I do relocate a lot, hence why I like community. So I was raised in South Florida, West Palm Beach. Then I went to law school in Maine, never seeing Maine, but only counted on pictures to see how the lifestyle was. I was there for 5 years. The job brought me to Boise. I wanted to return to higher education, and U of I was hiring in Boise. So that's what brought me to Idaho.
A lot of trees in Maine.
There are a lot of trees. There's a lot of similarities with Maine and Idaho, believe it or not. Okay. So that's what made it easier to fall in love with Idaho, because it's similar to Maine in this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So how did I arrive in
Idaho? Right.
My husband and I lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Great aquarium.
Pardon?
Great aquarium there.
Fantastic aquarium. Yes, we do. So we didn't really have plans of leaving Chattanooga. It's actually very similar to Boise, a really similar size, feel, and we loved it. But my husband was just getting the feeling like his career wasn't going to go where he wanted. And so we started looking. We decided out west. We had thought Portland, Seattle, because I'm from Washington. And he received a position or an offer in Boise. And I don't know anything about Boise. I don't want to move to Idaho. I'm Northern Idaho, but I didn't know anything about this. And my husband flew over and he called me and he said, yeah, this is not what you think it is. This place is amazing. And so we came, and within a week, I said, we are never leaving. we love it here.
Can we ask you some questions that Diane to ask, actually,
sure.
To get your perspective on. So I have our family of four kids, two older kids, mm-hmm. our biological kids. We have adopted two younger kids. So we kind of had these older kids that we took through the teenage years. Now they're married and off on their way. And I have two younger ones coming up, mm-hmm. and they're girls, they're 15 and 13. Mm-hmm. And the difference for them with social media in their life compared to my older kids, that contrast is unbelievable.
Right.
And although connection and community and all the great things we've talked about here, if you think of just the concept of people posting their life in the most positive light, right? And then living in, you know, real life, mm-hmm. it's just a setup for adults, but especially for teenagers. And then you had the other component with it, where they're just never away from it, right?
Right?
When we were kids, you'd go to school. If you were being bullied or had someone you didn't like, you went home and there was your family. And then you went back the next day.
Right.
But now that just goes on. There's just so many unintended negative consequences of this medium that, what are your thoughts on it? And what suggestions would you have to folks where it is a positive tool, but it also is so negative and so new and so challenging for families?
Well, I have a almost 13-year-old, and I'll say she does not have any access whatsoever to social media. She doesn't have a phone. And I have noticed that people who are really ensconced in working with social media have made very similar choices for their families. I don't think that many adults can understand that this is a highlight reel. I can see that. And I enjoy the highlight reel. I enjoy seeing how people decide to portray their life. I think that's fun. And I don't find that problematic for myself, but I know that a lot of people do. But a teenager, they do not have the development to understand that what they're seeing is just a small, small aspect of someone's life. So I have chosen that, at least I'm hoping until my kids are around 16, I'm going to try to keep them away from that. Because when we're home and with our family, we are expected to be present. We're expected to communicate with each other. We're supposed to relate to each other. When friends come over and they have phones, I just ask them to put it down, because I want our home to be one of personal communication, and it's working great. We'll see what happens as they get older and they kind of rebel against that. But it's something my husband and I feel it's just the right move. I want them to develop the ability to communicate in a way that is not dependent on a screen.
Wow.
For me, I have a younger sibling who she's about 12 years younger than me. So she was raised on social media, and with my parents didn't have to worry about social media until I got to college. So the disclaimer for me is I do not have a personal Instagram. Okay. I selectively share what I want my audience to know. And I feel that is what you use Instagram for. It is a highlight reel. But I use it for community building. If I'm 14, 15, 16 years old, it can be a bit challenging because you define yourself by how many likes you receive. You define yourself by how much engagement you receive, or you look at celebrities who have these beautiful photos. And then for me, it's just about disconnecting, dedicating time to disconnect from when you start feeling those feelings, and they do come even with Facebook. Oh, look at them. They have a new house. Oh, look, they got engaged. When you have those feelings, you sign off, go for a walk, disconnect, go watch a movie, do something that's engaging. That's what I learned to manage being on the phone too much, is knowing that it's a medium. It's not my life. So,
which is why you won't see my face on a lot of my pages. Most people don't know who I am, and that's very intentional, because when I am with my friends and I'm with my family, I want to be there as Natalie, their friend, Natalie, their mom, wife. But that can be distracting when, you know, I want to
talk to us a little bit about that, because okay. You went from being a lifestyle poster to not wanting that. Well, so that's interesting to me, because you've done both things.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So when I was a lifestyle blogger, that was more of a national thing. And that was just a small thing that kind of I fell into. I was already blogging, and then suddenly that became incredibly popular. And I just kind of rode that, learned how to create content, worked with businesses. It was just a fun learning experience. But when it's national, I might meet a couple of people at the airport every once in a while, and that's great. But I live in Meridian, and I'm all over that place. I'm at the library in my pajamas, and I'm walking around.
You're living your life.
And I just want to be able to be here and live here and stay here forever. And I don't want a highlight reel to define me, especially because that, while I love Hello Meridian, it's a very positive page. I do that on purpose. I'm not necessarily that positive all the time. I'm kind of snarky. I can see that there's a lot of stuff.
You will get along well with Kevin.
Yes.
The more time
awesome.
You spend with him.
So, you know, when people meet me, they might expect, and I don't know if you see this as well, people expect you to be what they see. And I run 12 different social media pages. They all have different voices. But I want to make sure my voice from my person, that's authentic. And then I'm not trying to copy, you know, what I'm writing, that I'm just me, and that identity is my own.
You know, what about the balance, though? One thing that I admire about Tommy is if he's going out duck hunting, he'll share it. If he's with his family, he'll share it. He's very transparent. Mm-hmm. For me, I happen to be a little bit more guarded, because you just never know. You don't want somebody showing up at your door or some type of things. Can we talk a little bit about the other side of social media?
Sure. The safeguards you should implement.
Right, because, you know, Kevin Miller, Star Idaho. Oh, bonehead. There's a lot of Kevin Millers, not many in Star Idaho. but should you be concerned about that?
Yes. For me, there has been moments where I would post where I am, and then someone would show up and say, hey, are you Boise Buckley? Because I show my face more than Natalie on hers. So people tend to recognize me. I don't post where I live. You would not see me post any type of hint of where I live. They know where I work now because it was published. So, but that's good for the course of my job, is to do outreach. So that's fine. But there should be safeguards. I think that people should be mindful when they share their children, what school they go to, what their names are. I'm mindful of that. I don't have children. I don't have a significant other. So I don't have to balance that yet. But when I'm mindful of those who I give advice to, where if you have children, they didn't ask for their, you know, just be mindful of what you share, what is visible in your photos. So you should have safeguards implemented for sure.
Well, and when people go on vacation, you know, it drives me crazy when people go on vacation Hey.
Particularly if you have a personal, if you have a personal page. See, when you're a business and you are the owner's on vacation, your business is still going to operate. But if you use Instagram as a personal way to share your insight, be mindful of your, someone's going to know that you might not be home because you're on vacation. So it's just different when you have a personal page and a business page on Instagram and what you share. So that's also what you have to be mindful of.
And my personal page is private.
Right.
I don't have that out to the world. Because I am pretty open on my Instagram page and pretty snarky and, and you know, those people, they get that.
It is entertaining. I love it.
So you get a follower?
Yes. She approved me.
Yes. Wow. I did approve her.
She did approve me. And
I'm going to see if Kevin gets approved after you.
I get that.
Pressure is on that.
Yeah. Hey, can we talk a little bit about the future of social media? I mean, you're in it. This is your, you live it. What do you see? What's coming in the net? What does it look like 10 years from now? 5 years from now.
Five. Wow. Well, the rate of which Instagram is evolving, I'm not sure what's going to happen in 5 years. I can say that the projection is it's going to be centered on being an e-commerce friendly platform where it's going to minimize the gap for a consumer to purchase from a business or get contact with a business. So it's probably going to evolve more to be business centric. So I anticipate that happening. I mean, the evolution of video being used in Instagram, and you can tag your products and your photos, and it evolves constantly. Even stories. When you use Instagram stories, it has exploded to the point where it surpasses Snapchat. So I just use Instagram, and I anticipate 5 years, it's going to be how businesses primarily probably sell their products or connect with their consumers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. There are many people and entrepreneurs in the area who don't even have a website. They are literally selling their product or services only through Instagram, which is fascinating to me. And some through Facebook, but more through Instagram. But I think that the people in this room, we have an interesting perspective because all of us grew up in a time when at some point in our maturity, we did not have the internet or social media.
Right.
We lived in a world where that was not prevalent. And I think because of that, we have a sense of nostalgia. I don't want print to be dead. So I read the newspaper. Not every day, but I try to keep up
to
on
support,
that. I have some nostalgia for the newscast. I want those things to stay relevant because I think they are important. But I think as we start to age out of that nostalgia is going to decrease. And I think then social media, because it is so focused on ease and speed, that it's just going to grow exponentially. And so I think that it's something that every company should be investing in and looking at and really, really looking at this as not just a hobby, not just a side thing, but a real element of their business that they need to be focusing on.
I second that.
Can I hit one more point with that? As you do that, tell us a little bit more about what that means, because I think you'll tell us very succinctly. But a lot of people say, "Well, how do you use social media?" It's very intentional. I think you hit it quickly earlier. You've got to have a plan. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the platform. You got to have the content. There's got to be thought behind it of how you're going to brand it. Talk to us a little bit more about that for small business owners that may be listening. What is the first step if they're sitting at home saying, "Listen, I don't even use this yet. What should I do?" Tell them specifically what the first step would be.
So I'll break it down. Like in your first 30 days, you want to have a certain checklist. So the first thing is you want to create your Instagram page. You want to be intentional with your name, like the handle. You want to see if it's taken or how it matches your Facebook page or whatever you have currently. Second, you want to look at your bio. How are we going to describe yourself to your target audience? You want to invest in getting great content. What I mean by that is you want nice photos. You can use your phone, up-to-date a smartphone, but you need to make sure you invest in that content. It's a visually driven platform. You need to invest in that. You could do trade. Maybe you have friends that are photographers, utilize their services. You want to make sure you do a 30-day plan. What kind of hashtags are you going to use? How many times are you going to post? What kind of tools are you going to use to minimize? And there's tools out there to post on your behalf on Instagram, to where businesses have this misconception where they have to be on Instagram all the time. No, you can use tools to plan your content. You can use tools to plan your stories. Just be intentional for 30 days. So take it step by step. Before you start posting, know what you're going to post, what's going to be on your feed. And more importantly, where's your traffic going to go to? Remember, these are all hot, either cold or warm leads. Where are they going to go? A landing page, Facebook group? Are they going to go to a website? They have to go somewhere. That is what business owners fail to realize, is they don't know where their leads are going. You can't have this for business purposes and not have a website or a place for the leads to go to. That is a good 30-day setup, is a checklist. Natalie could probably add to that since she does the consulting, but
yeah, I love all of that. And so many, you just went through so much that people are like, oh, I don't even know where to start. You can look within your family, within your company, and say, who really gets social media? You can have someone help you. Realize that you don't have to do it on your own. We have these businesses where they're making these amazing products. They're offering these services. And now they're expected to do social media. That can be very intimidating, overwhelming. But reach out for help. There's lots of people who do this for a living, or just somebody who has a good understanding. Definitely online, there's resources. But I would say on top of that is also just to realize that social media is a constant conversation. And whatever the last thing is you said is kind of how people are going to see things. And so you need to be very specific and knowing, is this thing I'm about to put out to the world, is it something that you want everyone to know as this descriptor of you, as your company? So if you see a picture, I just saw something posted today, a great company, I could tell they rushed the post. They had something come out. They actually said, alert, it's this big sale that just all of a sudden happened. They got a picture. It's a stock photo. It still says stock photo on it. And immediately I thought, oh no. And my thought of that company, it went down a little bit, which I don't want it to, but it does. And so being very aware of what you're putting out there is going to be crucial.
Well, I'll just add one more. Is just know as a business, if you can outsource that, like Natalie said, that might be in your budget. You might have to get a consultant. Some business owners are like, I don't want to pay, but they don't want to invest in their own branding. This is part of a budget, most likely to include, is get the help if you know you're going to need to outsource.
Love that. Hey, in the last little bit here, you probably know more about businesses and restaurants and the Treasure Valley than many people. I think we would be a huge whiff if we didn't have like a little rapid fire round here. Okay.
Sure. Oh boy.
So this is like rapid fire questions. You ready?
Okay.
So what's one business in Boise that many people don't know about that we should know about?
Business?
Yeah.
I can take this for, I'll take the Meridian Eagle.
Okay, give me time to think about this.
I am always shocked people don't know about the Chateau des Fleurs in Eagle. Yeah. Basically, it's this gorgeous French chateau that's been built right next to Camille Beckman. The family that runs it are the most amazing family. They are so warm, so kind. They do venues there. They have an incredible restaurant. Their executive chef, Richard Jimenez, is phenomenal. We went to a chef's table there last month, and it was just the most amazing thing. And so when people say, oh, I don't know where to go for my anniversary, the Chateau des Fleurs is right there, and it is gorgeous, and it's farm to table. So I would definitely say
love that.
Well, I'll say businesses. People are always surprised when I post about food trucks and it being a scene in Boise. So they get surprised, like, there's food trucks in Boise. So I would say that.
That's great. What's another Idaho gem, either recreation or when you would explain to someone from not in our state, one thing about the Treasure Valley that would surprise them, what would you say?
Well, for Treasure Valley, I state the outdoor recreation. And then for Idaho gem, I mentioned the hot springs to those who have no clue what a natural hot spring is.
Yeah. I mean, with Idaho, if you're going to be talking about the gems, obviously outdoors, there are so many individual businesses. I actually really love, and this is crazy, I love the Riverside Hotel. It's in between here and downtown Boise. It's historical. They have done so much to that place. It is by far the best place for a staycation for a family. Fantastic pool. They have the sandbar that's right on the river. They do vintage movies. That place is just such a gem, and they're always offering great options for people. So I would definitely check that place out.
All right, it's time for the big question. Is that right, Tommy?
Yeah.
All right, the big question, what inspires you?
That's heavy. What inspires me, just by social media or just
life?
I want to be able to leave a good legacy in the path that I lead and inspire others. So my inspiration is my environment. And because Boise is so friendly, I thrive in that type of environment. And that's what overall inspires me.
I think I'm inspired by people who are very intentional with their life. When they have an idea of what they want their life to be, what they want to give, how they want to spend it, and they don't just go along with the flow, they make that thing happen, whatever that thing is. I've seen people who have just taken something very small and created something magnificent, and watching people have a plan and believing in themselves and not really listening to the outside voices that tell them that's not going to happen. And watching that is so inspiring. And one of the reasons I think that I just thought, I can do this. I can create whatever I want. I can decide exactly what career I wanted. I can do it where I don't have to work in an office. I can be completely in charge of myself, and I can make that happen, and no one's stopping me but me. So watching other people do that definitely inspires me.
Truth. Fantastic. And for our listeners, how do they follow you? Better say that before we go.
You can follow me at Boise_bucketlist on Instagram.
Yep. And you can follow Hello Meridian at Hello Meridian.
Ladies, thank you.
Boy, thank you so much.
I've learned a lot. I have to. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.